thank you for your prayers for me with not feeling well after coming back from Mexico. My ears are still plugged, but just while I was standing in the back, the music's a little bothersome today. anyway, we finally want to do a small trip report. It's not going to be the whole time. Peter's going to come up in a few minutes and give us a message. Robin's going to open first, and then I'll close.
Well, I have three quick things to share. The first one is, Brad already knows this because we got to talk about it last week, but I wanted to just share with you guys that when you prayed for us before we left, Brad had a word for me about the talk that I was, when I was going to be doing the talk on abortion to the, you know, little groups in the camp. And I don't know how many people were in that group, probably 50 to 100, somewhere in there. And it's funny because his word said that there's going to be one person in particular. I don't know if you remember him saying that. One person in particular. And do you know there were over 1,000 people at that camp? And when we did that, there was one lady out of 1,000 that came up to me afterward crying, sobbing, basically saying, I needed to hear this. I think she's probably in her 40s. And she said, I think that I haven't heard from my daughter in a couple of months. And she said, I've just had a feeling in my heart that it's because of this issue and that she's either had an abortion or she's considering abortion. And she said, I just needed to hear everything you said today. And so she was one of these people that was like almost hyperactive, so I never even got to pray with her, but I did give her the literature that I had in Spanish, and she just was so grateful for what I shared. So praise the Lord, and Brad got kind of a kick out of that too, that out of 1,000 people, there was one person. So there were later on, after a couple of our other workshops, a little group of teenagers that came up together and wanted the literature. And I think there's safety in numbers, so there could have been another person out there that needed that information, or maybe they're getting it for a friend, who knows. But so the other thing, one thing I wanted to share is that just like I said, so many people at this camp and so many people from all different places, and the spirit of over the whole camp was like nothing I don't think I've ever experienced yet at one of these events, and we've been to many. And there was just people, I guess the scripture that came into mind is preferring one another, you know, before yourself, you know. And people were, you know, feeding all those 1,000 people with the tables and chairs they had and stuff. Sometimes there weren't quite enough table space or whatever for everybody at once. So people were getting up as soon as they saw that they were done and somebody else was coming with a plate. People were saying, here, take my chair, and all this stuff. There was no grumbling, complaining about anything. I never heard anything. So I was so blessed by the whole spirit that was over the camp. It was beautiful. And then the last thing I wanted to share was, you remember Sarah and Shalom that were here with the conference? And they came to our home group one night before the conference, and then there were words, a lot of words for them because she's pregnant, and they had lost their first baby, miscarried, so she was nervous and everything, but by the time she left here, she was not afraid. And God did so much in their life while they were here. Well, she was the main, Shalom was playing guitar up there, and she was the main lead vocalist for the whole event. So she was up there, I think, just about every day for a major part of the day in the heat of the sun and all that kind of stuff. And I just felt like that was such a testimony that she's not afraid, because that was a big job. And she did a great job, and it was just so wonderful to see them again, and they send their love to all of you. So that's my short.
So I guess what I was feeling to share today about partly about this trip and then I guess maybe a little history with why we're there. You know, this event was probably the largest they ever did. It was registered over, I don't know, 1,200. Probably at one time there was maybe 1,000 there out on the sandy part, or out on the grassy part of the beach right behind the sand, out going out to the ocean. And they were camping out there. They set up a whole kitchen that they're out working there at 6 or probably 5:30 in the morning to begin to do breakfast, and then they do lunch and dinner. And so the conference is free, and all the food that they give for these three meals is free. And they only charge for a store that they also run there at the same location. But it's so, you know, interesting to see how Danny told me he was so blessed this time that he had so many workers. He didn't have to ask anybody to be helping with anything. There was always workers there tearing up the tape, putting the tables out. You know, in the daytime they have to be under the tent, so they have to move all the chairs, and they set up the tables. At night they can set it out in the more in the open, you know, but they're constantly moving things around, so there's so many people helping. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, this group started back in 2010 out of a group out of the university that came together. It was primarily Ricky and some of his friends. And in doing so, they did the first Explosion Day of More, I think, back in 2010. And then after that, and the way they did the initial ones, they were charging, and they were also trying to get some name people come in for the attraction for the thing. But now, because partly they started to learn about how the kingdom is supposed to work, that they do it free, and they're not having a big name person come in at all. All of the activities and teaching and whatever is all internal from teams that they have built together, and they share, you know, the word of, you know, through all the people that are there, and it's just been growing, and it's a wonderful thing to see. The first one that we as a church went and was involved with, I think it was in 2013, maybe 2014, I can't remember. It was Paul and I and Owen and Dennis, actually. And that one they charged for, like I said, and they had a big name person come in besides Owen was also the other big name. And it didn't work out well. And after that, you know, this is at the same time they asked us to start to oversee what they are doing. So this little church, the Fountain of Life, now was having a big input, a lot of input into this group and how they were doing things. And we began teaching them and having them come up and learning about the kingdom of God and how it's supposed to, the principles are supposed to work. And they started to implement them, and then they have continued to grow with this ministry, and now they do three locations a year in Mexico and one or two in Central America. And, you know, there's probably about 50 people that are doing a core of the teaching. They break them into groups and give them sections of time in an event, and then they share whatever topic they have set up for them. And it's been very powerful, and people that come just feel the difference of the how something is, how the kingdom works versus how, you know, the church normally runs with, you know, a mainline speaker and, you know, building, trying to build emotion, and versus just sharing about the kingdom and seeing the Spirit move. And so that's what's been happening. And so so we have continued to help them and oversee what this group has been doing down there as it's been growing. But as you know, in February, we went down, Paul and I went down, and we laid hands on three brothers in the main church in Puerto Cielo. And that is where this ministry is out of. So now they're, in a sense, kind of in the process of them taking over primary oversight for this group. That's multiple churches that are involved in it. And we're still helping them understand their leadership roles in the church as well as in the in the Dehoven group. So I'm sharing that to say that, you know, this little church, Fountain of Life, is having such a large impact, and there's other churches that were also involved. There's the church with Concho and Joy, and now we have Shalom and Sarah that Robin mentioned. They, with two other brothers, they're leading a fellowship and up in Topeak, which is 2 hours north of where this was, and they're considering having us help them as well, so that they're still in a prayerful process of asking us to help oversee their leadership group and their church as well. So I'm sharing these things just so that we can, you know, can understand, I guess, maybe the magnitude and the on the one hand, and yet the, you know, the pure, I don't know, you know, it's the humbleness that that we are as a church, just to help serve where we can and not control, and just help them grow into the ministries that they, that God has called them to. So we have been there, and so I just wanted to, again, thank you to us, to Fountain of Life, for one, for financial support in sending us down, financial support in even helping with the land that they're building, the church building down there, as well as sending us down in for prayer, that and seeking the Lord for the trips and for these groups. And so, you know, it's amazing to see how God can take, you know, 12 disciples and create a huge movement that changed the world, and he's using us to help in a small corner of that. And so I just wanted to, you know, just to share that we would have an understanding or perspective, not to be proud about it, but just actually to be humbled about it, that, you know, God is able to use little old us to do so much. And so I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for what he is doing. And there's, you know, there's some ongoing leadership issues. There's ongoing problems in different places that, you know, that I know that God wants us to help give some input to. So, you know, I know the Lord wants us to keep going, just to encourage them, to help them, and to help them grow. They're such a young work in so many ways. But yet their heart is to serve the Lord and for the kingdom of God to come within their own fellowship, as well as all of Mexico, and they're working on Central America as well. So praise the Lord. They've been such a blessing to us, and I know we've been such a blessing to them. So I just wanted to share that in the backdrop of why do we keep going to these events? You know, why are we still involved with the church and now churches down there? And I believe that God has called us to this in a sense like an apostolic work to help them grow in the Lord. When Dale and others started the church here, we took years stumbling through so many problems because we had no one except for the Lord and for the scriptures to understand how church government, how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. And praise the Lord, God gave us Dale's and others to put us on a foundation. But now we've been walking that out for years, and now we can bring that to other places and just serve other places as we are here, and the Lord is leading us into new and greater things as well. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing down there. And we look at those things in a very humble way, that you would use us to do such a mighty thing in the earth. So thank you for that, Lord. We receive the crown, but we throw the crown down to you today, because you are the one who enables us to do all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter, thank you.